Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about fighting back. Fighting back. That's something that most Christians think we ought not to do. Fighting back, standing up for truth is what I'm talking about. Standing up, standing against the enemy. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 10, it's very clear that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. Talking about demonic battles that we're faced with today. The Apostle Paul then goes on as he speaks to the church at Ephesus and talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And then after the whole armor is put on, and it outlines that, I recommend it for your reading, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following. After you put on the whole armor of God, you're prepared for battle. You're armored up. The scripture says, having done all, stand. That is, we dig in the heels. We don't bow. We don't bend. We don't run. We don't turn. We stand and face the enemy and do battle with the sword of the Lord. And I believe that is a charge that we need to recognize today as Christians and to reinterpret in the right sense, biblically speaking, and inculcate in our lives as believers today. I'm a little bit weary with Christians and conservatives that's willing to bow and bend and shut up and be silent, sit in the closet, bury your head in the sand like an ostrich, thinking that these problems will go away. I believe it's time Christians and churches be salt and light as we're charged to be in the scripture. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Right page, left column in my Bible, if you need to know how to find it. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. We invite your call, dialogue, and discussion about the issue today. We're talking about fighting back. We're talking about the lie from big tech, big pharma, and big government that's lied to us about COVID. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says JAMA, that's the medical journal, Pfizer COVID shots protection fades in weeks. This article says a second shot, let's begin with the proportion of antibodies dropped from 76% 4 weeks after the second shot to 19% after week 12 and 14. The antibodies dropped even faster for the third dose and the booster shot. Between the third and eighth week, antibodies fell 5.4-fold from Omicron. Last week, in a segment of Good Morning America, ABC News chief medical correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton warned it's possible that repeated boosting actually can weaken the immune system completely, does not build it up. The more shots you get, the weaker your immune system gets. And yet we've been told you need to be boosted and boosted and boosted again. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is happening with the killing machine called the doctors, the medical association, and the hospitals today. If you dare to get COVID and go to the hospital or see your doctor, the doctor's going to pull his screen up on his computer. And on that screen, there's about 351 pages from the CDC. And the CDC gives that doctor, exactly what he's supposed to do and how he's supposed to do it. No longer do we have a medical profession where they interface with the patient, and the patient and the medical professional, the doctor, makes the decision on what's best for you. CDC, via the CDC protocol, tells the doctor what he must prescribe and what he can't. We're going to get into the details of that in just a moment to show you how onerous it is and how murderous it is and how it is known by the medical profession, the doctors, the nurses, the hospitals, the medical association, that they're killing patients, murdering our loved ones in the hospital. Here's an article that says Pfizer's COVID vaccine protection against Omicron fades after a few weeks, according to a study. It's another article written on that. The protection afforded against Omicron coronavirus variants fade quickly after a second and third dose, according to the Pfizer's biotech COVID-19 vaccine. According to a peer-reviewed study published in the JAMA Network, a Danish study published in the JAMA Network back in May and June, found that there was a rapid decline in Omicron specific serum neutralizing antibodies only a few weeks after the administration of the second or the third dose. Our study found a rapid decline in the specific serum neutralizing antibodies teeter only a few weeks after the second and third shot. The proportion of it goes on to talk about how rapidly it falls, how deep it falls. But ladies and gentlemen, the media is not going to tell you that. They've already been bought and paid for by Big Pharma. Here's an article that says a news executive just admitted that they forced them to spread COVID lies. In case you didn't get the sound of that, in case you didn't get the onerous thought behind the headline, let me read it again. A news executive just admitted that they forced them to spread COVID lies. A mainstream news media just admitted that the government had forced the media to adhere to the narrative and spread the COVID lies or risk serious consequences. In world history, media propaganda, there's no doubt that response to the COVID-19 pandemic will go down in history as one of the most disturbing cases. Throughout the pandemic, the idea was pushed that everyone had to follow the government's approved narratives. Otherwise, you'll be censored on social media. Governments even lied to the people. Gave the example. The first lie was, 15 days closed down to flatten the curve. Made a dubious claim based on no evidence at all. It goes back to, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Deborah Birx, that is now admitted in her book that she tweaked and changed the data in order to convince President Trump to lock down America and to require masks to be put on and the distances 6 feet apart, et cetera, et cetera. You know the whole smear that's taken place since then. Ladies and gentlemen, many people, this article says, were not aware of the full extent of the government's authoritarian crackdown on information from the media that forced them to lie about COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, further thought on that, I'll read one other article. Dr. Deborah Birx admits that she deceived, this is the headline, admits that she deceived Trump to push COVID measures. Dr. Deborah Birx, who served as the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator under President Donald J. Trump, has admitted in her new book that she manipulated the data and quietly altered the CDC guidelines without any authorization or knowledge, end quote. Quote, in silent invasion, she confesses that she devised a strategy of sleight of hand method of reporting that she described as subterfuge. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read that little blurred point again. In silent invasion, she, that's Dr. Deborah Birx, confessed that she, Dr. Birx, devised a strategic sleight of hand method of reporting that she described as subterfuge. She's admitting it, and nothing's being said or done. This article further says Dr. Birx opposed the advice of then coronavirus Dr. Scott Atlas to limit testing on the premise that asymptomatic transmission was minimal and not driving the pandemic. She and the CDC director, Robert Redfield, agreed to quietly rewrite the guidelines and post it on the CDC website. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's the picture. Dr. Deborah Birx quietly, by what she called the sleight of hand, reporting by subterfuge. That is the lying, deceitful method, if you want to know. She deceived and devised a plan to change and to manipulate the data and then put it on the CDC protocol. And then you have Dr. Anthony Fauci, Sir Anthony Fauci, comes along, and what he says then, he points to the CDC protocol and says, there's the scientific data, there's the evidence, and it is absolutely fabricated, phony lie that they took one lie and quoted it by another person and another, and the whole lie has spawned across America for the past 2.5, almost 3 years, destroying lives where lives are being murdered in the hospitals because of COVID deceit. This article says, with Dr. Burke speaking, she and then CDC Director Robert Redfield agreed to quietly rewrite the guidelines and post it on the CDC website. We would not seek any approval because we were both quite busy. It might take a week or 2 weeks to get approval. We were committed to subverting, hear me, her writing, her words, we were committed to subverting the dangerous message that limiting testing was the right thing to do, she wrote. Dr. Burks recalls a phone call from the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, says, what the blankety blank do you think you're doing? You rewrote and posted CDC testing stuff, said Meadows, according to Dr. Burks' account. And Dr. Burks boldly says, yes, we did, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's enough to, if it had been me or you, they'd put us both under the jail, charges with mass murder as a result of what was done. Here's an article that says, a woman died with a rare brain bleed after getting COVID-19 vaccine, according to the coroner. It goes on to talk about 34 years old, having no underlying comorbidities at all, and yet she died within a brief period of time of getting the COVID-19 vaccination. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a society in the world today where the lie about COVID-19 has simply caused this nation to lose hundreds of thousands. In fact, back 6 months ago, Matthew Staver with Liberty Counsel said that over 500,000 Americans had died as a result of the COVID vaccine. And most people, ladies and gentlemen, go back and research it for yourself, the COVID-19 vaccination being administered to people without giving them the knowledge of the side effects. Read that fact sheet on that study, if they still have it online. 1,200, that's 1,297 side effects. The COVID vaccine has 1,297 side effects, and yet we're being told that that is the thing to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to at the beginning when Dr. Fauci and others, his sidekick, said that it did not originate in the Wuhan, China lab. This is the reason many still call it the China virus, because it was originated there as a result of the gain-of-function research paid for by taxpayers. It was put on halt. Put on pause in 2014. It was supposed to be on pause for 3 years, 14, 15, 16. Ended the first month in January 2017, at the very month that Dr. Fauci made the statement to President Trump that he was going to face a pandemic. How did he know that? Because it was planned with what Dr. Fauci had been doing and being receiving pay by the millions as a result of it. He is the owner of 83 patents that we've been putting into effect and putting money in his pocket since 2005. They've known since 2015 that this would be released on the public. Yes, I believe it was purposely released. It was released out of the Wuhan, China bioweapons laboratory where it was developed, and I believe it was purposefully released. You can disagree with that if you like. But, ladies and gentlemen, the pathogen was intentional, not accidental, I believe. Dr. Burks and Dr. Fauci are now admitting, as I said earlier, that they lied, manipulated the data, manipulated the facts about COVID so that they'd be able to force everybody to get a vaccination. This article says, Dr. Fauci concedes that COVID-19 vaccinations don't work. They don't protect overall against the infection of COVID. White House COVID-19 advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci conceded Wednesday morning that the COVID-19 vaccines do not protect overall against any virus, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, one writer put it this way, it's the great headline, the greatest fraud in history. Doctors sue the federal government over COVID vaccine. America's Frontline Doctors, a group of medical professionals who work to promote early COVID-19 treatment and to expose the influence of pharmaceutical companies on federal decision-making, is suing the U.S. government over the COVID-19 vaccination campaign. The letter is called by the plaintiffs the greatest fraud in history of the world. And it goes on to talk about their suit that has been filed against the federal government. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some better news than that. We're told by some medical experts that over the next 10 years, let me say this, and then get into the good news. By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you call, your dialogue, and your participation. If you've got a story to tell, tell it. If you would like to share what you feel the medical profession has done to your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your loved one by murdering them, I can tell you that our 56-year-old son languished in two hospitals in Virginia for 71 days. Put the ventilator down his throat. And the ventilator, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, according to all medical scientific research and study, says that a ventilator, if it's in the individual more than 14 days, there's an 86.5% chance that they'll never survive. 86.5% chances of being murdered if they put the ventilator down your throat and it's in there for more than 14 days. In fact, the numbers diminish greatly after the 14th day, but even before the 14th day, those numbers are diminishing as to the possibility of coming out of the induced coma for them to put the ventilator in the individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a group that has been formed. If you've got a pen and piece of paper, don't try to do this if you're writing, if you're driving. But if you are where you can write it down, let me give you some information that I believe you will treasure for years to come. Let me give you this information. It's the formerfedsgroup.org. Let me spell it. FormerFedsGroup. One word. Former Feds Group. Let me spell it again. FormerFedsGroup.org. Go to that website online and then find COVID-19 Humanity Betrayal Memory Project. COVID-19 Humanity Betrayal Memory Project. Pull it up. Put the data in. Share your story. Tell how your loved one was murdered in the hospital by the doctors and what they had done. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the protocol for CDC will kill a COVID patient. Hear me. The CDC protocol is not NOT, not designed to cause your loved one to survive from COVID-19. The CDC protocol is designed as a eugenics project to thin out the population and destroy your life. I've already told you before on this broadcast, I've shared with my family, if I get hit by an 18-wheeler and you need to sew me up, put me back together, put me in the hospital. But if it's as a result of COVID, let me languish at home for whatever time God gives me. Do not put me in the Gestapo centers that's called hospitals today. Hospitals today have more security guards than most small state prisons have. Hear me. Security guards. I've read an article just recently on this place that is the formerfedsgroup.org. Read an article of a family member that the husband had to do a major getaway procedure with a car waiting out front, take the patient out of the bed, rush down the hallway to get in the car to speed off to get them out of the hospital, with the police chasing them down the hallways and out the parking lot to try to prevent them from leaving the hospital. Yes, we're talking about the Gestapo approach to force a patient to stay in the hospital so that they can kill your loved ones. Ladies and gentlemen, this is taking place today. If a patient goes in the hospital with COVID, if they're tested positive, number one, it may not be positive at all because the PCR test, according to Dr. Malone that invented the PCR test, he said it was never designed to test for COVID-19, never designed. He said most of the time it would be a false positive that's given if they give the PCR test. So, ladies and gentlemen, the protocol for CDC, number one in the protocol for CDC for COVID, give the patient remdesivir. Ladies and gentlemen, research it. Now, if you go to Google, you'll probably not find the data. Go to DuckDuckGo or another research engine to find it. Remdesivir, the drug destroys the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, and the heart, killing the patient with a prescribed drug that is required by the hospitals and doctors if you put your patient, your loved one, in the hospital with COVID. Number two, refuse to administer Regeneron. Regeneron, ladies and gentlemen, are the monoclonal treatments that's given to former President Donald J. Trump when he had COVID. They lied to my son, ladies and gentlemen, in the hospital on the evening that he talked with the nurse. The nurse had told him they would start him on medication the next morning. He called his wife and told her that, good news, they start me on the medication that they gave to President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, either the nurse lied to him, we'll never know, or he misunderstood the difference between remdesivir and Regeneron. Regeneron is the medication that will heal and help, but it's the medication that's refused under the CDC protocol. If a doctor wants to prescribe the monoclonal treatments, antibodies, the Regeneron, the CDC protocol will not allow it. If the doctor is a licensed physician in America, under the CDC protocol requirement, the doctor's hands are tied. He cannot prescribe Regeneron. And ladies and gentlemen, the third thing that they'll do, if your loved one is put in the hospital with COVID, even if it's a false positive, they don't care, because it's the cha-ching cash register that's ringing every time they follow the CDC protocol. They'll jab a ventilator down the patient's throat, ladies and gentlemen, a ventilator. And that ventilator, when they put that ventilator in your loved one's body, the hospital that does it gets $300,000 from the federal government. If they put you in the hospital, if you're entered into the hospital as a patient with the COVID on your patient's chart, they immediately get, right at Baptist South here in Jacksonville, they get $48,500 from the federal government. They then get an additional $18,500 for the PPE that they're required to wear when they go into the hospital rooms where the patients are located. Then on top of all of that, they get a 20% bonus if they keep you in the hospital and keep you designated as having COVID, 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 COVID. You understand what I'm saying? It's all about dollars. One of the major hospital groups across America that between 2020 and 2021, just in the 2021 year alone, that a $1.9 billion net profit. It showed some 573% increase in profits, and it was all from jamming ventilators down patients' throats and killing our loved ones. I think it's time that we fight back, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's time that we stand up and say no more. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Peter McCullough, chief medical advisor for the Truth Health Foundation, with a team of other doctors and multitudes of attorneys, are now putting together information, documentation, and testimonies of all who have had their loved ones killed by the medical system. One headline reads, "We're going to get justice," end quote. Subtitle on that, "Families Unite to Call Out Questionable Hospital Protocols That Lead to Death." Ladies and gentlemen, let me read you just some blurbs from some of the testimonies. And by the way, again, if you're where you have an opportunity to take a pen and paper, do so. It is the former FORMERFEDSGROUP, FormerFedsGroup.org, FormerFEDSGROUP.org. Go online, go to the section that says COVID-19 Humanity Betrayal Memory Project. Share your story. Talk about how your loved one was murdered and what they did. I'm looking at this massive article that talks about it. This article says, for example, and it is from documentation gathering or a group that is called the FormerFedsGroup.org. And under that, this article says, "We're going to get justice. Families unite to call out questionable hospital protocols that lead to deaths." The stories of families whose loved ones died in the hospital because of what they call the death protocol are strikingly similar, this article says. The patients were all scorned because of their unvaccinated status and were given a combination of sedatives and antiviral drugs, drug remdesivir. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, I told you a moment ago, remdesivir destroys the liver, the lungs, the kidneys, and the heart. And if you, and it's not laughable. But if those four organs are destroyed, they've killed you. They've killed you. And ladies and gentlemen, this article further says they were also kept isolated and malnourished and ultimately put on a ventilator before being killed. after the deaths of their loved ones, the families were left in a state of confusion with inconceivable stories that many wouldn't believe, stories of chilling administrative cruelty to their loved ones. This article then states the former Feds group, Freedom Foundation, has gathered about 200 of these stories through its COVID-19 Humanities Betrayal Memory Project to build online databases of testimonies for the purposes of surveying accounts of treatment for the sick, unvaccinated, and prosecuting any cases involved in alleged abuse. The horror stories are just manifold in this article, ladies and gentlemen. This article goes on to talk about millions of documents containing details about victims of the COVID-19 dark time began in 2019 and still exist today. We are sponsoring a project to gather this information to preserve and protect it for future accountability and generations to come. Through the COVID-19 Humanities Betrayal Memory Project, you can help make these victims' records searchable online and restore the identities of people erased from history, one person at a time. The COVID-19 Humanities Betrayal Memory Project is changing lives already by building the world's largest online resources for information regarding the individual victims and the concerted efforts to deny human beings with safe and available medical treatment. Discover how you can help the truth to bring the truth to light and create a change for families connected with the and that transcend humanity betrayal and the time to ensure this never happens again. And he goes on to talk about the live archives. We're building a live archive on ongoing crimes against humanity. We're listening to the survivors and their family members, to those who weren't so lucky. Every day we're hearing evidence of what we believe to be crimes against humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you that contact information again, and I'll add something to it this time. Contact information is the former Feds, F-O-R-M-E-R, F-E-D-S group.org. Go online to COVID-19 Humanity's Betrayal Memory Project. Share your story. Murder of your loved one. Tell them how it was done and what took place and the lies you were told. And ladies and gentlemen, a phone number for that organization is 888, that is 3H, 888-486-3337. 888-486-3337. Or you can email Carolyn, that's C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, dot, Blakeman, B-L-A-K-E-M-A-N, that's Carolyn.Blakeman, at formerfedsgroup.org, F-O-R-M-E-R-F-E-D-S-G-R-O-U-P.org. Ladies and gentlemen, go online, formerfedsgroup.org. Go online and put your information there. If you need to call them, do so. If you would like to talk with Carolyn Blakeman, shoot her an email. Have any discussion that you need to about what you want to say and what you need to do. But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to fight back. We need to join together, join arms with Dr. McCullough and his wonderful group that's been put together for that, and let's fight back. Just as the headline said that I read a moment ago, one headline reads, "We're going to get justice. Families unite to call out questionable hospital protocol that led to death." Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you'll participate in that. I pray that you will join the group. Put your information out there. Tell your story. Let's fight back. Let's find justice. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.